Just to confirm, I've started the webinar now, Mr. Chairman, and as well as the recording. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Andrea. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's scrutiny for community regeneration, environment, health and wellbeing. Firstly, can I welcome our guest tonight as well from the Environmental Agency, who will be shortly giving an update on flooding around the area. But firstly, a few housekeeping points that I'm sure you're all well versed in now. Could I remind all councillors to keep their microphones on mute unless they've otherwise been indicated that they wish to speak and then called upon? Can I also remind councillors that it is expected that their video equipment and cameras will remain on throughout the meeting? If a councillor loses their internet connection, I'll propose a short adjournment to allow them to rejoin the meeting. Can I ask that any councillors who do wish to talk use the raise hand functionality, and then once I've seen, and then I'll bring you in at the appropriate time to ask any questions. Can I also ask councillors to not use the chat functionality, as well as just a reminder that any voting taking place tonight will be conducted via democratic services and will be a named vote as called out. So moving on to the agenda, item number one, apologies for absence. Andrea, have we had any apologies, please?
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Hudson.
Thank you. Councillor Lamb.
Yeah, can I just, I've got to leave shortly after the meeting, into the meeting. I just want to make sure that you don't worry about me dropping off and holding the meeting.
No worries, that is no problem. Thank you, Councillor Lamb. Councillor Hussein.
Thank you, Chair. Can I convey the apology from Councillor Paul Walker? Sadly, his mum's passed away and she's in arranging the funeral and other bereavement. That's why she won't be able to attend today.
No problem. Thank you for that, Councillor Hussein. And our condolences as well from all on the committee to Councillor Walker.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will pass it to Heppily. Yeah.
Thank you. So moving on then to item number two. Are there any declarations of interest from any councillors present? No. Item number three, to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. Andrea, has any urgent business been brought forward?
There's no urgent business, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Item four, so is to accept the public minutes of the meeting held on the 27th of January 2021. Can I have a proposer to approve the minutes, please? Councillor Wildman, and do I have a seconder? Councillor Legg. Andrea, if I could hand over to you for the vote, please.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Aykroyd.
Four.
Councillor Barker.
Dane.
Councillor Beach. Sorry, Councillor Beach, I didn't quite catch that.
Four.
Thank you. Councillor Brady.
Four.
Councillor Gould.
Four.
Councillor Grosvenor.
Four.
Councillor Hussein.
Abstain.
Thank you. Councillor Killoran.
Four.
Councillor Lamb.
Four.
Councillor Legg.
Four.
Councillor Raybould.
Four.
Councillor Shrive.
Four.
Councillor Wildman.
Four.
Councillor Peters.
Four.
Thank you, Chairman. That vote is carried.
Thank you very much, Andrea. So moving on to item number five. So this is the Environmental Agency update. So we've got two officers present from the Environmental Agency today. Will Groves, who is the Senior Flood Risk Advisor at the Environmental Agency and is the lead officer on the Burton Flood Defence Works, as well as Mark Swain, who is the PSO team leader, who will also provide us with an update on the flood risk across the borough and funding strategy and maintenance, as well as the overall investment. So at this point, I would like to hand over to Will to give a presentation on the flood defence works.
I think it's actually going to
to be me, Chair. That's Mark Swain. Good evening. I'm just going to spend just 10 minutes, probably, myself and Will, rolling through some an overview first, give you plenty of time to ask questions and bring up any issues that you want to do, because obviously we could talk all evening about this subject, because there's quite a big area that that you've got to cover. So my name's Mark Swain. I'm normally based at our Fradley office just outside Lichfield, down the A38. Just going to set the context for the responsibility for dealing with flooding, and then give a brief update of the current issues in East Staffordshire, and then say Will take you through the Burton scheme in more detail. So Andrea's kindly offered to scroll through the slides for me. She's moved on to the next one already. She's ahead of me. Thank you, Andrea. So roles and responsibilities. So it's quite a complicated subject. But following the flooding of 2007, which was severe across the country, there was a report undertaken to identify improvements in response. And those recommendations were enshrined in the Floods and Water Management Act of 2010. And that gave specific roles to organisations, and it gave them a duty to cooperate with each other during incident response. So there are two principal organisations, which are ourselves, the Environment Agency, and we report to DEFRA, and we administer the National Flood Risk Policy on DEFRA's behalf. But we also have specific duties to manage flood risk from what we call main rivers. So that's like the Trent and the Dove in East Staffordshire, some other watercourses too. And the other authority is a lead local flood authority, and they've got a duty to have a local flood risk strategy, and that's Staffordshire County Council in your case. And they also have to manage the ordinary watercourses, and they tend to be the smaller watercourses that flow into the main rivers. The main rivers are largest with the greatest flood risk, but the ordinary watercourses are a lot more numerous, cover a greater length. So there's more length of ordinary watercourses than main river, and they can actually be more challenging to provide solutions to, because getting economically viable solutions on these smaller problems can be harder than getting a scheme in place for somewhere like Burton, for example. Have the next slide, please, Andrea. So just to move on to the other, I'm having problems with my presentation now. So it should be on the roles and responsibilities of district councils and highways authorities. Andrea, thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I'm looking at my screen on there and doing this on my phone, so I can't quite see the slides that you're looking at. So apologies if I sometimes sound like I'm getting ahead or behind. So yeah, the district councils have powers to maintain and improve ordinary watercourses in partnership with the lead local flood authorities. But they've also got probably the most important role in making the decisions on the planning process, making sure development doesn't increase flood risk. And you've also got highways authorities who are responsible for the road drainage and ditches that are adjacent to the highways, and water companies responsible for managing flood risk from sewer systems. And I say sewer systems, not all sewer systems are buried underground. So, for example, the Shobnor Brook or Horninglow Drain, those of you who know the Pirelli Stadium in Burton, the watercourse that runs around the boundary of that is actually a surface water sewer maintained by Severn Trent Water, rather than ourselves or Staffordshire County Council. So can I have the next slide, please, Andrea? So just to set the context a little bit for East Staffordshire, it's got some very large rivers running through it. The border with Derbyshire is formed by the River Dove, which drains large parts of the Peak District, and is also then joined by the River Churnet at Roaster, which drains all of the Staffordshire moorlands. And we've got the Trent coming in from the south and runs through to the north of the district. And that the Trent picks up flows from Stoke, Stafford, Wolverhampton, Birmingham, Solihull, Nuneaton and parts of Leicestershire before it's then joined by the Dove at Newton Solney. And then once then it flows off then towards Nottingham and down to the Humber Estuary. So that's just the wider context. Go on the next slide, please, Andrea. I'm coming to specific cases in East Staffordshire. You know, there's been repeated incidents of flooding over the last 5 years, and that can happen in locations like Burton, where we have good defences in place, so the impacts are quite minor. So things like, you know, local footpaths are closed and things, but the flooding of properties is rare. But they've got undefended communities where homes have been built on the banks of the watercourses, and these have suffered numerous times. Marchington up there at the top of the map has probably been worst affected. Water inundates houses several times each year there. Rolston, if you to the sort of top right-hand corner, that's got diverse challenges relating to surface water flooding problems. Quite frequently surface water problems there, but also from the Rolston Brook, and that was flooded badly in February 2020. 16 homes there were affected. Burton in the sort of mid-right there, which Will come to talk about in a little bit. And then at the bottom of the screen, I've just highlighted Barton under Needwood there. It's been flooded less frequently. I think February 2020 was the first major flood there since 1987, but that flood was severe, and there was about 70 homes in multiple locations around the village that were flooded. So the next slide, please, Andrea. Just talk about Marchington, Barton and Rolston in a little bit more detail. It gives a view of the catchment at Marchington, which is extremely steep. So all water runs off quickly during a storm. And perhaps if you're local, you'll know sort of the Marchington Cliff there, how steeply it falls away. And that funnels all the water into the village. The channel itself, small capacity. We've got 17 properties there at very significant risk of flooding, 25 in total. And there's been flooding every year since 2012, except in 2015. So we're working with Staffordshire County Council and Severn Trent Water to provide improvements, and we hope to deliver those in the next financial year. It's likely to be a combination of solutions, natural flood management, which means tree planting, some storage of water on land with agreement to the landowners, some property level resilience, which is things like flood doors and air brick covers, raising the section of bank where the water escapes onto the road, and maybe some highway improvements. The solution's really challenging there because of the lack of funding available. So we get, for that problem, we get £325,000 worth of government funding. We think we need about £800,000 to solve it. So that funding shortfall, we think we've now secured that through what's called the local levy, which is given by the regional flood and coastal committees. And we should have that confirmed in April, but we made a bid last month and that was supported in principle, but it needs to go to the full committee for approval. The next slide, please, Andrea. Yeah, Rolston, frequently affected by surface water and highway drainage, more occasional severe flooding from the Rolston Brook. We did seek solutions to this after the November 2000 floods. We didn't identify a viable option at that point. Staffordshire County Council have completed some measures to reduce surface water flooding, and they're also looking at further highway drainage works over the next 12 months too. We used the February flooding to justify getting a new flood model to better understand the problem, and we've also brought Rolston into our next six-year programme for another assessment. Early indications show there might be opportunities for some upstream flood storage, but we need to get the results from that model before we can get any real appreciation of the scale of the problem or the funding that's likely to be available. And I think it's the last slide from me, please, Andrew, just about Barton. So we've been aware of the flood risk in Barton for a long time, and we're working with the community to identify a solution before the February 2020 event. And we completed a high-level assessment of options. I don't know whether you can see on that slide, but it illustrates the affordability challenge we have. So you can see that the four options that we wanted to take forward, there was a significant funding shortfall on each of those. We were looking at the most likely option at the moment to be natural flood management. But we need to gain landowner agreements because it will involve, you know, making alterations to the land upstream before we're able to do that. The positive news is that Staffordshire County Council have been successful with some improvements to some of the more minor watercourses, the Knoll Brook and the Full Brook, and that has reduced risk to a significant number of properties. But the problem with Barton Brook is still being looked at. It is in our programme for further investigation next year, but we haven't got a viable solution at the moment. So that's my overview. I'll just hand over to Will, if he's ready to go, just talk you through Burton in more detail.
Thank you, Mark. I'm just going to talk about Burton then. Burton Flood Risk Management Scheme. This is a scheme we've been doing since 2016 in terms of complete project, but we've been on the ground for about the last 20 months. So what we've been doing here is renewing 3.7 kilometres of the 9 kilometres that protect Burton from the Trent. And the bits we have done are the red lines on the map. So the red line and the gaps are the flood defences. So the gaps were done in 2005 to 2007. The total cost of renewal was about 25 million. So that's coming on budget and it's coming on time. We've not long finished and we had till the end of this month to do it. So it's really good news. One of the key risks in delivery was stakeholders. So that's people affected either side. So we've had a school, allotments, golf course, residents, yourselves as landowner around the library, the leisure centre, Network Rail. So we've had a lot of work to do to work with those people to agree the design and how we construct it. And a lot of early engagement has paid off and we've delivered that scheme. So if you look at the boxes at the top right, we've basically, by and large, we've gone in and put steel sheet piles within the defences and then shaped the embankments around those sheet piles. And in some places there are concrete reinforced walls. If you could move to the next slide, Andrea, please. So these are some of the before and after then. So the golf course at the top. So this was a foot defence, like many in Burton, that was comprised of old demolition waste. So built in around the 60s. I'm told a lot of breweries were demolished around then, and that's what formed the fill of the flood defence, so we wouldn't build them like that today. So you can't see the sheet pile on the top right, but you can see the capping beam, which is that green bit of steel on the right, and then the sheet pile is down on the other side, exposed. So a much better flood defence. And if you look at the bottom one, that's the old leisure centre stroke library wall. That was a concrete wall. It looked quite ugly, so it's a much improved defence. It's raised here as well, and in some places we have raised them where we needed to. We've got a much tidier finish. Believe it or not, that footpath on the right, the new one, is actually wider than the one on the left. It's just a bit of a trick of the camera there. So we have widened the footpaths where we can. On the top one, it's bank protection, but it's a footpath to many people, so we widen that. So it's a lot of amenity enhancements, and those amenity enhancements they're basically like a first phase of amenity enhancements around the library and leisure centre, which will be completed by the Staffs Council. So we work with you to get some more money to do those, and they're going to be delivered this year. So if you could move on, Andrea, to the next slide, and here's something. Visualisations. The top right one is the leisure centre wall, so should be a wetland and boardwalk going in this year, and Julia Bape is leading on that for you guys. And we've also worked with Staffordshire Wildlife Trust. They've got a lottery project in the area, and we've also worked with them to join forces to do more wildlife and environmental enhancements in the wetland, in the washlands rather. You can't really see what these are, but these squiggles are basically new habitat being created, so we can create a better environment for wildlife, and then you've got a better access for people. So if you can move on, Andrew. So while we were doing this scheme, we knew there was an issue on the A38. So in February, last year on the 16th, same time as Barton Brook had flooded, it was flooding on the A38, it forced the road to be closed for 3 days. The property's flooded as well. We knew there was a problem here, and we'd already started talking to people in the homes to try and understand what was going on. Because previously there was a very little understanding. We knew there was flooding, but it was thought to be either groundwater or surface water. But further investigation and then the event itself showed that what actually happened is water goes up the Tatenhill Brook. So Tatenhill Brook, if you follow the arrow, it flows down from Tatenhill under the Trent and Mersey Canal and under the A38, then down here and up. It goes up past parallel to the railway before going into the Trent up here. And what was happening was that water was going under the railway, going back up Tatenhill Brook and using that as a flow route. And then you see these arrows these arrows showing an extreme event. It was actually going round the back into the town. We were saying actually we're defending it. So we thought, yeah, we certainly need to do something here. So cut a long story short, in around about June or July, we'll be putting an additional scheme in here, which will basically consist of walls and embankments to keep the water in the brook to stop it affecting the A38. And also it will protect these houses which flood in what we think is a 1 in 20 year event. So that is reassuring for them. I think some houses have seen flood water sort of every 5 years in the lowest spot. So that's an additional piece of work on top of the delivery within the town, which protects 4,500 homes and over 1,000 businesses. I think that's the end, Andrea. I think that's the last slide.
Thank you both for that update. I think that was quite interesting and very comprehensive. Are there any questions from anybody on the committee? Councillor Wildman.
Thank you, Chair. Just a general, really, questions. I'd like to know what flood storage is. I mean, in terms of, I mean, you guys put it over very easily, but I mean, what is flood storage? And flood management, what is natural flood management? That's, I'd like to know that, because I know you guys know very, you know, we're sort of not okay with all these words. And if you can just sort of, what is it you guys that are doing the, near the Duffcliff Hotel, is that anything to do with the A38 system? Are you taking that away, or have you done that? Or I'm not sure whether it is you or whether it's another company. It may be someone else. But that's towards Rolleston. Rolleston and Stratton, actually, I suppose. If you that. And can you just update on Rolleston again? Because obviously I am aware that has flooded so many times recently. If you don't mind, thank you.
No, shall I pick these up, Will? Are you happy for them to do that?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. I'll keep in if I can.
Yeah, okay. So flood storage can take lots of different forms. In the simplest form, it can just be a tree left in a ditch so that water backs up and floods the land behind it rather than it running down into the more built-up areas of the village. On the grander scale, protecting Hatton and Tutbury, we've got a storage area that can hold 500,000 cubic metres of water, and that holds the River Duff back with a large dam with an opening in it, which we call the throttle, which just controls a set amount of water that can run down through the through Scropton and into Hatton without causing flooding. And that was a £7.5 million scheme. So you can go from the, we can have flood storage that's free by not removing fallen woody debris in channels, or you can have a major reservoir holding back, vast flows that come all the way from the Peak District. And we'll successfully put in a flood storage area for Rugeley last year that protected 114 houses and allowed development of the town centre. So there's lots of different forms, from big formal reservoirs to just informal embankments in farmers' fields that stop the water flowing so quickly into villages and woody debris. So that strays a little bit into natural flood management, because that woody debris is a form of natural flood management. It's making the watercourses rougher, makes them spill out of channel at an earlier stage in areas where there's not so much at risk. So there's a bit of a conflict, because the landowners there may not want their land to get wet so frequently. Some of them do, because it has environmental enhancements, but others, perhaps if they're farmers and they want to use that land for agriculture, they don't particularly want the water to be on their land at all times. But tree planting can be another form of natural flood management, because the absorption given by trees is much higher than a cropped field, for example, or a potato field that's been ploughed with the furrows pointing down towards the village can have very, very rapid runoff and cause flooding for people, whereas the a tree and a forest will just intercept a lot more of the rainfall, absorb more water, and runoff will be much slower. Duffcliffe Weir is an Environment Agency project. It's being done for fish passage. It's to allow salmon to get back up the River Dove. So that weir is classed as a blockage. So we have water framework directive targets to improve the environment as well as to reduce flooding. There's no flood risk impact of removing that weir. They've recently discovered an ancient wooden causeway underneath there. So it should have been removed by now. But the bad weather we had over the last winter and discovery of the archaeology has meant that they're delayed. And Rolston, well, I mean, Rolston is a subject all on its own because there's so many complex problems there. So Staffordshire County Council have the responsibility for surface water, and they have been able to do some improvements there, which is by putting in a small flood embankment at Meadow View, which deflects water that was running off from Craythorne Road. And that's now, rather than going into properties, is kept in the football field and then takes a passage through open land rather than people's properties. So that's a success. They need to do some highway works at Beacon Road. I'm not quite sure of the status of that, but I can find out for you through my contact at Staffordshire County Council. Ourselves, with the Environment Agency, we're looking more at the properties at Brookside. And the name Brookside means that obviously they are very close to the brook, and that makes it quite difficult for us to find an easy solution. If the houses are standing back from the watercourse, it's easy to put an embankment in there, which is a relatively cheap solution. Obviously, the houses are then only separated by the brook by the road, and you don't probably put an embankment through the middle of the road. That's not going to work. So the solution there will be more expensive. We've had a look at having a flood model, which the flood model will show you exactly, well, not exactly, it will give you a better representation of what is likely to happen in the future. And that allows us to calculate how much damage these floods cause. And that's important because that's what generates our budget to be able to do work to protect people from flooding in the future. So why have you been able to protect Burton with 4,500 properties quite easily, whereas Rolston with 16 affected, you're struggling with? It's because at Burton, each house generates some benefit, some damage avoided, which gives us our budget. So we've quite easily been able to justify spending £30 million at Burton, 25 now, it will be up to 30 by the time we've done the next bit. At Rolston, the 16 properties, it might only cost £500,000 to find a solution, £500,000 to £1 million. But one of those big flood storage areas that might be technically the solution for Rolston won't be viable economically because we'll probably only get, £500,000 to £1 million worth of benefit for doing that work. So it'll make the solution more difficult for us to justify economically. So we won't get the government funding, we'll have to look for partnership funding. That means we have to look for people who benefit, if there's any big businesses there. So when we put the Lower Dove scheme in, for example, Nestle contributed to that scheme. They contributed several million pounds towards that because it helped them with their business. We haven't got that in Rolston. There might be some small developments that can help contribute to it. There might be some local authority funding or local enterprise partnership funding, but the solution will be challenging from a funding perspective. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you. When you talked about the salmon coming through, I understand why the weir, has been removed. The archaeology, I think, is quite exciting as well, to be fair. But yeah, that's actually, thank you very much.
Thank you. Just before I bring in Councillor Lamb, can I just remind councillors to try and keep their cameras on throughout the session? I believe we lost you for several seconds there, Councillor Grosvenor. Councillor Lamb.
Yeah, just to on the Rolston, I must admit I run a lot through Rolston, and I can confirm that the football pitch actually got absolutely soaked during the floods early in February. but also the Craythorne Road at the end where you get into Beacon Road. I mean, that was underwater by 1 or 2 inches for about 6 days. So I think that's still obviously quite a problem there, even though the ditches have been well cleaned out before then. So that's a problem. In terms of natural methods, and there's a lot of talk we see on programmes on the television about use of beavers and things like that, and I just wondered if that's practical in East Staffordshire. And finally, question was, within Stratton, I know we've got a balancing pond that has caused some concerns at some stage because it didn't sort of, it sort of then has to go from the balancing pond into another area. Is that an EA responsibility at all, or is that purely to the Severn Trent?
Do you know, I know a little about the balancing pond, Will. Do you know more about it since the Burton scheme, or do you want me to pick it up?
No, I don't know much about it.
Okay. So, natural flood management at Ralston. So, for example, those of you who know the A50 that goes out of Burton, the Tutbury Road, towards Tutbury, might know that as you come out of Burton itself, and the road rises up, and there's a hump in the road, which is a bridge over the Ralston Brook. And the model shows, for example, that it might be possible to slow the flow of the water at that point, to hold the water on the land upstream of there. And that will mean that less will come down to Ralston so quickly. It can be released at a much slower rate, which should help. Now, that's at the moment, all that we have there is a technical possibility that could work. We haven't spoken to any landowners. We haven't seen what other impacts it might have on other properties upstream at that point. But that's the kind of stage we're at Ralston, investigating solutions. We haven't looked at beavers for that location. We're beginning to learn about them in our area now, where they've been. I think the Forest of Dean have got some beavers in there, which is just on an hour, not my patch personally, but it is within the West Midlands area. So we're learning about that. It's not something that we've introduced much of here. In Staffordshire, though, there is a lot of natural flood management, a lot of work with farmers to perhaps change their agricultural practice so runoff is less, because that not only helps with flood risk, it also stops wash off of nutrients from the land, which makes their farming practice better. So, you know, it's a slow process, changing land management techniques, but there's more funding as well for the farmers now to do this environmental land management. So I think it will be an increasing thing that we see, and we work with the Staffordshire Wildlife Trust along those lines. There's a lot of projects in our programme in the next 6 years looking at this. So it's starting. We haven't seen the results of many of them yet. That's the thing. It's all at the very early stages, but there'll definitely be more to talk about over the future years. And the balancing area, I think the one you're talking about. It's off Knightsbridge. Is it called Knightsbridge at Stretton?
Yes. Somewhere. That's it, yeah.
Oh, crikey, I got that right. It's not ours. I believe it's an ordinary watercourse that we maintain by Staffs County Council, or they'll have the powers over it. See, it falls with the landowner has the responsibility. It might be public open space, or it might be with these Staffs, it might be with the developer still. We have a small part to play in it, in that the reason it backs up and can't drain away is because the Trent is so high, so there's nowhere for the water to flow. If the Trent is up to the top of the flood bank there, then the gravity, you know, fall of the water into the Trent, it's impossible for it at that stage. So it just holds it in that location. So I'm not aware of there being any problems with it, but I do, if that's something you want me to take away and speak to my contact at the county council, I can do. It's not Severn Trent. I don't believe it's Severn Trent. I think county council will have the power.
Yeah, it certainly came up as a concern from residents earlier in the year. Can I just say thanks for your presentation. I found it very useful. I'm going to have to leave now, but thanks a lot.
Thank you,
Councillor Lamb. Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, thanks. Apologies that you didn't see me for a few seconds. I did stand up to turn my light on in my living room, actually. I didn't think you'd want to see that. That's why I put myself on without the camera for a while. In terms of a few points you've made, in terms of Rolleston and Brookside you've mentioned there, I think one of the issues around there is the silt traps. The silt traps need clearing regularly, and we looked at that a while ago. We had estimated it would cost about £500,000 to resolve that finally. So that might be a particular issue around some of the flooding at Rolleston. I know Councillor Toon probably isn't on this scrutiny page, but that was one of the things that we looked at around there was the silt trap. You showed some pictures for Branston, which was alongside Paget High School and the golf course. You've also done some work around the allotments there. I walk that route regularly. It might be a technical question, this, but I don't see how the works that have been implemented along that stretch of walkway, and the pathways look fabulous, don't get me wrong, the pathways, the grass look really good, but I don't see how the works have been implemented protect against flooding. Perhaps you could answer me how they do, because on the right hand side of the path, which is the downward slope from the pathway where it's, I guess, abundant, the right hand side of that is where you've got the metal fences, which are grated metal fences, and the metal work underneath that. I don't see how that would stop water flooding over the bund and into either the allotments or the school playing ground area there. Can you just explain to me how the metalwork that you've put in, especially the metalwork that you've sunk into the ground, actually prevents water from seeping over the bund and going into the school and the allotments? Because I don't see that. And I've asked that question from one or two of the workmen up there, and they weren't very clear on the answers that they gave me. I'll ask the experts the question this evening.
It won't stop it going over the top. So we don't eliminate flood risk. We reduce the risk. So that. The whole flood defences are built to what we call a 1 in 200 year standard. So what we do is we work out what's the 200 year river level and we build it to keep that out. So the metalwork, as you call it, the sheet piles, are the main structural part of the defence. So much of the improvements were to improve that structure. And yeah, if water did get over the top, and it would flood. So we're not eliminating the risk, but that is very low risk. So, hopefully that answers your question.
Can I add a little bit there, just to help? So what you do when you design the flood defence is you work out what is a reasonable risk to bear. Otherwise, you just build the banks higher and higher and higher. So as Will said, 1 in 200 years. So that's a 0.5% chance of that being exceeded in any 1 year, and that is a standard. That's probably the best standard that you get across the country, other than things like the Thames Barrier, which I think is a 1 in 1,000, and that's sort of the same standard of defences you'll get through Nottingham or the schemes that we've done in Tamworth. So that's sort of an industry standard, and all the work that Will's been doing has been about strengthening the defences to make them less liable to fail if they have water against them for long periods of time, to make them more resistant to wear and tear of people, animals grazing, to make there were some of the trees in the flood banks at Branston Golf Course, weren't there, Will, that if they had blown over in a storm, they'd have ripped the bank out. So it's structural improvements. There wasn't a problem with the height of the defences. It was making sure that they were strong and the sheet piles stopped water seeping through the ground and underneath, which cuts off another flow route. So that's sort of the background to that. It's not a case. You could always build them to a higher level, but you could always have a flood that was greater than that. But it wouldn't be economic to do then, because then you double or triple the price of doing so.
Yeah. The level that we choose is driven by the economics. So we did look at what's the next level above, but you have to follow guidance. So it's appraisal guidance, and there becomes a level where if you go above, it's not beneficial to do so. So the 1 in 200 year level was the optimal level.
Thank you for that. Councillor Peters.
Thank you, Chair. All of the measures and mitigation that you've shared with us tonight, I haven't heard the phrase climate change in any of the information that you've shared with us. I mean, climate change, of course, is on the tip of everyone's tongue now. When you see the intense rain and the more regularity of intense rain, people seem to be referring it back to climate change. So what measures are the risk assessments that you've shared with us? How much weight have you given to the impact of climate change on perhaps putting at risk your risks as we speak today? And the final thing, the areas that you shared with us initially, Markington, Rolston, Burton, and if it wasn't for significant cost restraints, I think you shared that with us at the beginning, I would like to ask you, do you think that the pace of what you're undertaking could significantly be improved if you weren't being restrained by available finance? Because climate change won't stand still until we've got more money. And I feel that there's a need perhaps to improve the pace of all the work that you're talking about. How would you respond to that?
I mean, to start on climate change for Burton then. So climate change was considered, but following on from the last question, we have to go with what is the optimal level in Burton. So it's the 1 in 200 year level that we went for. We looked at going higher, but it's basically an investment decision as to how high you go. So we could have gone to what is the next level, which would be a 100-year level plus an allowance for climate change. But we'd basically be investing now for benefits in the future. So what the climate change assessment said was that in 2054, we would expect that 1 in 200-year level to drop. So that is the point at which you invest again. So you may say, well, why don't you invest now? But like I said, it's an investment decision. And when we look at the flood and coastal risk management program as a whole, we decide that we will invest that money when it's required, because that money can be spent on something else in the program now. So, for example, on the A38. So it is considered. And in 2054, that's the forecast. That's when we would need to raise them again. And the Burton defences are built, so they can be raised again and not reconstructed entirely.
Okay, so back on to the second point, which was, is funding an issue? We've given more funding than we've ever been given. So we had, it was $2.5 billion under last 6 year programme, and we were asked to protect 300,000. This is across England. Asked to protect 300,000 properties with that in that 6 years, and we actually achieved it yesterday. So this is a timely presentation, just to say that, you know, we do have success from the investment. It's much easier to invest in the larger areas because your economies of scale are so much bigger, and as we move through time, we're also finding that, you know, the problems that we haven't been able to resolve are the technically more challenging ones. So as we move into the next 6 year programme, so in April, we're starting our next 6 year programme of projects where we've got places like Barton, Rolston and Marchington all lined up. They are the ones that are technically challenging and more expensive. So they've given us more funding again and asked us to protect more houses. Our target this time is 336,000 houses over the next 6 years across England. And you can see, when you've got a big community like Burton at 4,500, it's quite easy to start making big steps towards that. When you're left with the smaller, more challenging communities, then each piece of investment is returns less benefit, less houses for that tricky challenge. And we also have to make it work with Treasury Green Book rules. So there's, as Will was talking about, there's investment decisions. We can't spend more than the benefit we provide. So the benefits have to outweigh the costs of any scheme. So that's one issue we have. All of those schemes, Rolston, Barton and Margington, will have a positive benefit cost ratio. So that's good. So we can keep working towards solving those. But there are funding formulas that work out the number of properties that get flooded and how often they get flooded, which give us our funding from DEFRA. And that gives what's called a partnership funding score. So what DEFRA say is we'll put up some of the funding, but there'd have to be a partnership with other people to close the funding gap if there's not enough benefit through our funding. So that's where we have the real challenge, and that's what takes the time to work out where to put our effort to raise the contributions to solve the problem. So if you have a really engaged community, it is easier, not easy, but easier, and you can work with the councillors like yourselves who may know of ways that we can reduce costs on schemes, and that can be by working with landowners who can perhaps provide some land or services free of charge. If you've got, as I mentioned Nestle before, if you're fortunate enough to have a big commercial operation in the area that benefits from the flood risk, they can see it as a wise decision to make a contribution. So funding is a challenge. It's not that we're not getting funding, we're getting more funding than we ever have. But what we're left with at the moment is the very challenging schemes. Each programme is more difficult than the last, because the easy to solve ones we've solved already. I don't want to take too much time on that. It's probably as technical answer as I can give you without referring to books. Did that explain it at all?
Yes, thank you very much. I mean, the clarity is there. I mean, the cost benefit analysis and ratios have certainly clarified for me the rate up to 2054. That's difficult to get your head around 2054. But thank you for that briefing. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Councillor Peters. Councillor Wallman, final question.
Thank you, Chair. Just very quickly, I understand what Councillor Peters was talking about there. You mentioned working with landowners, I'm presuming farmers and so on. The way they plough their fields, now I have spoken about this before, not to you gentlemen, but if they plough their fields across ways, that will hold more water, is that correct, rather than down, which allows the water to run through? So how are you then working with farmers? And I know you said you were working with landowners, I'm presuming that farmers as well, that's what I'm presuming. Maybe you could tell me otherwise. Because that's really about education, isn't it? About how they affect the flooding of an area, quite honestly. And that would hold quite a lot of water, I would have thought, if they ploughed it across ways rather than down into a valley, should I say. That's really what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
I think there are definitely instances where education can help. I mean, farmers tend to know the land better than anybody else. So I would imagine that they wouldn't do that intentionally to cause flooding. But we have officers who visit farms, and they do WFA, is it Working Farm Assessments, Will? Is that what that stands for?
Yeah.
I know, and they go out and they have a look at, with the landowners about what they could do, which would help reduce flood risk and potentially give them new funding streams through environmental land management. Will, you've done a lot of environmental projects. Have you got anything?
Yeah, we tend to work with organisations like Staffordshire Wildlife Trust, for example. They had a project called Farming Floodplains for the Future. So they would go out and advise the farmers. So we would sort of tell them the hotspot areas, and then they would go and do it. We regulate farmers as well for various activities, so sometimes it's better for a third party to go and have that conversation. So that's another method in how we do it. But we're sort of relying on the goodwill of the landowner. But Black Marks is, most of them are keen to help. There's some who are less so, but most of them want to engage because they're connected to the environment.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your presentation this evening. It's really good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think that brings to the end item five. I think thank you both for attending and taking the time tonight to I give what I think was quite an interesting presentation, as well as taking the time to answer questions. What we'll do is we'll circulate that presentation to the members of the committee, and I'm sure if any of them have any questions that crop up afterwards as well, we can work with yourselves to kind of get those answered. Feel free to stay around for the rest of the committee meeting, but if you'd rather go off and enjoy the rest of your evening, fully understand.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Yes.
Thank you both. So moving on then to item six is the Corporate Plan Performance Report for 2020-2021 for quarter three. And I'd like to invite Dan to give an update, please.
Thank you, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to provide an update on the progress at the end of the third quarter of the current financial year towards achieving the community regeneration and environment and health and wellbeing priorities set out in the Council's corporate plan. As you may recall, following an appraisal of the impacts of the coronavirus pandemic on the delivery of the corporate plan targets, an executive decision was taken to revise 25 of those targets. So this report provides a quarter three update against those revised set of targets. So overall, of the 93 live targets, 90.32% are green, 3.23% are amber, and 6.45% are red. And the usual green, amber, and red definitions have been applied. But in terms of this committee, of the 24 live targets that contribute towards community regeneration, 23 are green and one is red. And of the 22 that contribute towards environment and health and wellbeing, 100% are green. Section 5.5 of the report lists the target that is reported as red. Full performance information on all the corporate indicators in the community regeneration and environment and health and wellbeing priorities is available in Appendix 1. And the recommendation is listed at Section 12 of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for the update, Dan. Are there any questions on that, Councillor Grosvenor?
Thank you. With regards to the one target that's red that we've missed, CR10, relating to the number of events in the market hall, the marketplace last year, clearly failed, and clearly coronavirus had a big impact on that. Dan, can you just confirm, because I know we approved the corporate plan a couple of weeks ago, not got it in front of me, unfortunately. How many events have we got planned for the marketplace in the new year, in the new council year started in April from that year onwards? I can't remember how many we've got planned. Can you just confirm that for me?
I can't confirm it now, Councillor Groves, but I can get back to you after the meeting if that's okay.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Cheers.
Thank you for that both. Are there any other questions in relation to the performance update? No, in which case then we will move on to item number seven, update on the scrutiny reviews. Dan, could I ask you to give an update, please?
Yeah, no problem, Chair. So the first review on the supporting communities, the subgroup met with Burton Albion and Burton Albion Community Trust to talk about how the football club and how the community trust has acted as almost the anchor in terms of the community response to the pandemic. I think it was a thorough presentation from both the football club and BACT. The football club talked about how their facilities, so the stadium, has been used as the testing centre. Certainly at the start, I think it was being used for key workers. And then it was used as a pop-up centre for sort of the wider community testing, some of the lateral flow testing. And it was also been used to provide pre-postnatal checks for pregnancies and for midwives to ensure that service, there's some continuity to that service. And obviously now, December 2020, became a vaccination centre. And when we met a few weeks ago, they'd had 20,000 residents come through the doors, you know, in total for everything. So the football club have also been testing their staff and volunteers. And at Christmas, they'd worked with Longvale to provide vouchers for 200 children for those families most in need of community support. And those vouchers are able to use at the time at the Toy Master store. In terms of the Community Trust talked about what their role has been throughout the pandemic, how they've continued to provide their sort of outreach school programme for key worker children, how they've sent parcels to the community, how they've sent sort of parcels to those who are isolated, including crossword packs and other sort of activities to try and keep those people engaged and mentally active, particularly if they're on their own. They talked about the lessons that they've learned from the first lockdown and how they're going to use those lessons moving forward. They talked about they'd had a real influx of volunteers, which was really good to hear, obviously. So they're looking to create a formal recruitment pathway and a retainment process. And moving forward as well, they'll be looking to instigate a stronger referral process to other organisations and really examine how they can consult and get in touch with those people in the community who don't know about them. So much more outreach. In terms of the waste and the recycling review, as you'll recall from previous committee meetings, the review is split between the two committees. But the subgroup from this committee met with the subgroup from the Orders and Value for Money Services Committee, and met with Paul Farrer and Amy Cunnington to discuss recycling. So we had a good meeting there to discuss what are the barriers to recycling, and now our next steps are to consult with the public to see what they think the barriers are to recycling, but also to do a benchmarking exercise with all the local authorities to see what their approach is to tackling some of the issues that have been highlighted. So with regards to the first review, if I can ask members of the subgroup to keep their eye on their emails, because hopefully I'll have the dates or a range of dates for our next meeting with Support Staffordshire, if you could get back to me when you receive those emails. And we'll be in touch regarding the waste review and the survey to the public. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you for that update on both of those subgroups, Dan. I think more of a point of note for me as well, that with our next meeting being in June, I think both subgroups should aim to try and get a draft report of both of those, at least a draft report prepared for the next meeting, particularly on the waste review one, so that we can start moving that along in line with the wider waste review scheduling. I think that'd be quite helpful. Any questions on that? I can see Councillor Grosvenor, you've got your hand up.
Thanks very much. Just a question on the involvement of the council with the Burton Albion Community Trust. Can you confirm whether or not the council makes a financial contribution to that? I'm not sure whether we do. We know they used to make a grant aid application, but it fell below the threshold. Does the council currently make a financial contribution to that?
I am unaware of that. I don't know if Dan or Mike, if you know that, if that is the question that we'll come back to you on, Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, the only contribution I'm aware of is not a council contribution, it's the local strategic partnership do commission Burton Albion Community Trust for some of their activities. That's the only part that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay, Michael, sorry. And do the council contribute to the local strategic partnership?
No, the LSP's money comes from the Police and Crime Commissioner called the Locality Deal Fund.
Okay.
Get annually.
Thanks, Michael.
In terms of the wider question, Councillor Grosvenor, we'll follow up on that by email to all members of the committee. So moving on then to item 8, this is the public executive decision records. So you have all received the EDRs. Are there any questions from these? Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to let you know, I got an interrupting internet service for a couple of time, or just three times. And if you can note that one, please, on the minute. Oh, so, Andrea, for your attention, please.
That is no problem. Thank you for that, Councillor Hussain. If there are no other questions then on the EDRs, I'll move on to item 9. So questions. I don't believe we've received any questions, have we, Andrea?
That's correct, Chair.
Okay, then at which point then I'll move on to item number 10, the date of the next meeting. So for reference, the date of the next meeting is Wednesday, the 23rd of June, 2021. Hopefully, who knows, we might even be in person for that one, after over a year of virtual meetings. And then also just a note that the wider council diary dates for the new municipal year will be circulated to all councillors in the near future as well. So at that point, I will move that in accordance with Section 10A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in the view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in the brackets before the item on the